Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men Radio, the Liverpool podcast by Red Men TV. I have got Tom Dutton joining me today. Hi Tom, Tom's back from holiday. Everyone's like, it's like tagging in and out of the studio at the moment.
I feel like I tried to get a tan, my face is just red and it's peeling. So yeah, that's my tan.
That was the 3 hours you spent outdoors in your week off.
Exactly.
I'm hosting today. My name's Paul Machen. If you don't know, welcome to the show. Chris Pajak is back from holiday, and yet he's not. If you want to get a podcast with Chris Pajak on, we did the Transfer Latest podcast on the website yesterday. Get involved with that. We'll give you a little clip of that later on. But let's get stuck into the kickoff question. Comes via Daniel17 @_Daniel_Ellis. If you give three players new kit numbers, who would it be and what number? I mean, this isn't just in life, by the way, because I mean, I would go back and stop Zinedine Zidane from taking the number 5 shirt for Real Madrid because he basically ruined. He had as much of a damaging effect on the whole squad number thing as Steve Jobs had on society by creating the iPod.
I really feel like you care more about this than anyone else I've ever spoke to ever. I mean, I don't get, like, you can have any kit number. If it means something to you in my eyes, take it. But I mean, okay,
give you an example. The number 101.
Yeah, get it.
So you're fine with someone having the number 101 on the back of a football shirt?
I would love that. They'd stand out. I mean,
it makes me so angry. I can do it. It shouldn't make me so angry, but it does. So you think it's perfectly acceptable to have like a 3-number combination on the back of a football
shirt?
Or
we just revert back to like whoever's playing on the day, whatever your position is, you get that shirt. You don't have a shirt number. It's whoever's playing on the day.
I like that. Because to be fair, and this is where I age myself, my first couple of Liverpool kits, like I had 9 on my first Liverpool kit. That was Rush by and large. But then I think I had like 8 on the back of one, and I had 7. And that was, 8 was either John Aldridge or Ray Houghton. And then you'd add 7 was largely Peter Beardsley, but it could be, you had the possibility of being, you know, if Kenny would start a game, then obviously Kenny would wear the, etc. So yeah, it's weird, and it doesn't help sell shirts. Maybe it would. Maybe people would buy more shirts if they knew they were getting value for money.
Yeah, it's true. You get like 3 players, and then you'd have to change the letters out every time you wanted to. On the match day, you'd be like, oh, Suarez is playing, so I'll put Suarez on. Or
I remember Velcro letters on the shirts.
Yeah, there we go. I think we've got a market there.
I do remember a lad getting Peter Beagrie on the back of his Everton shirt, and they sold him like 2 weeks later, and they had to go in and basically rip the lettering off the back, and he got a surname put on the back instead. Clever. Always get your own name. What's your first shout?
So it's Robertson. He needs to be number 3.
I completely 100% agree with this. I mean, 26 was just, I feel, it was just an exercise in getting him into the squad. Yeah. I don't think anyone really, and also I think tells his story that I'm not sure people truly expected him to be Liverpool's first choice. No. Left back or whatever. No, absolutely sound with that. 20, yeah, number 3. Yeah. If anyone's earned that upgrade, it's completely on.
Because, I mean, Moreno's 18, isn't he? And he's not getting the number 3. Your first
in
choice left back.
And squad number.
Yeah.
And mentality, probably, as well.
Exactly. Like. I mean, look, just give it to him. Make him feel like a bigger part of the squad. I know he is. He's earned it. Mm-hmm. But just give him it. And then, so I've done a switch. It's weird. I've made Milner number 23. Okay. Because that number to me is iconic.
Okay.
And Emre Can's gone, so it's fine. And that frees up the number 7 for Oxlade-Chamberlain.
That's an interesting. I've done a bit of a switcheroo as well, to be fair. And Milner's at the centre of it because I love James Milner. James, hi. I love you so much. You're so good. You have one of the best seasons I've seen from a Liverpool player. I've had 2 back-to-back really, really good seasons for Liverpool, to be fair. It's time to give up that number 7 shirt, mate. you know, look, have literally take your pick of everything else. What I've done is, James, if you're willing to partake, swap with Sadio Mane. A lot of talk about giving Sadio Mane the 10 shirt. I'm giving Sadio Mane the number 7 shirt.
Wow.
And I'm keeping the 10 free for our soon to be signed, whoever he may be.
Exactly.
Attacking midfielder.
I don't mind Sadio Mane having the 19 though.
It's fine. I quite like. They might, because you know I'm a squad number obsessive.
Yeah, he's the number 8
in champ manager football manager world. When I've run out of the good numbers, yeah, the 1 to 11s, your next best ones are 17, 18, 19 because yeah, they're similar to your top numbers anyway.
Yeah. I mean, because if you're going number 11 and then you start again, so number 12 is your number 1 is your second choice goalkeeper.
No.
And 13. No, 13. That's how it works.
Is your backup goalkeeper.
No, I've just made it. It's a thing now.
No.
So the 12th man's Anfield.
Let's retire the number 12. Yeah. Just put the cop on the back of it. No, 13 is the backup. So goalkeeper numbers go 1, 13, 30.
But what about where does 12 come in? Does no one have 12?
Back, right back.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I just don't care enough. I really. We're talking. Trent keeps the 66 because that's a beast.
That can get to fuck. But look at the state of it. Like, look at those numbers. It's just an embarrassment that he's even got the 66. It just shows you how many random players we've had in the squad. He could have had one of the low 20 numbers straight off the bat if we thought he was going to be good. And I get some people stick with it and they think it makes them humble or whatever. Again, Trent, love you, mate. You're dead sad. You deserve better than 66. Make one change. Steven Gerrard changed his number 3 times, twice technically. You had 3 numbers at Liverpool. Don't forget that. You're entitled to change it. Don't need to do a Jamie Carragher.
Love the fact that he did that. And I mean, I don't like Balotelli, but I love the fact that he kept the 45 for ages. I like that. I don't know, I really do.
No, for me, Trent gets the 23 because that is that iconic shirt. Robbie Fowler, Jamie Carragher, Trent Alexander-Arnold.
That's a good
shot. Totally and utterly wiping over Emre Can in that number. Oh, whatever, sad. He's gone, who cares? No, I want Trent in the 23. And then, if he then builds himself up to the point where, you know, he is 5 years down the line and he wants the number 8 shirt, give him the number 8 shirt.
It's there for him. Absolutely. He deserves it if he stays there. Sorry.
So, yeah, they're the big ones for me. There's plenty of other little bits. There's the thing. Someone needs to give Andy Robertson the number 3 so we don't end up with another shambolic situation where a centre-half takes it again.
Yeah, I mean, because I was having a look and Wijnaldum having the number 5,
I'm not, but then I was thinking that's another one that I would investigate. I would see if Dejan Lovren and him want to swap.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Lovren's got the 6, hasn't he? Van Dijk's got the 4.
Okay, let's just sort this all out now. I'm really sorry if you've got no interest in squad numbers. I'm going to drag this out for a few minutes longer. We are going to be talking about Salah potentially quitting Egypt. James Milner weighing in on VAR. And we're going to take in a load of questions, including who you think Liverpool should be signing, etc. Okay, so number 1, look, let's just say it's Karius for now. Karius until he gets sold. Number 2, I'm happy for that to be Klein for now because I think it's his right to lose it.
Yeah.
3 should be Andy Robertson.
Yeah.
4 can stay with Van Dijk, although I'd prefer him to be 5.
Really? Yeah. Why?
Because I think 5 is just is the commanding centre-half's number and 4 is your dirty work number.
Okay.
Or, you know, 6 if you'd have to. They're the wrong way around,
yeah,
at the very least, if you want to do the handsome route. So 4 should be Dejan Lovren.
Okay.
Van Dijk. 6 should be Jordan Henderson.
Okay.
7 should be Sadio Mane because he's a winger. 8 should be, I'm happy for 8 to be Naby Keita if that's the deal. 9 yeah, fine, Bobby Firmino. 10 should be Nabil Fekir. It should be Phil Coutinho.
Yeah. Yeah.
11, happy for that to be Mohamed Salah. And then sort the rest out. So 12, you know, 12, 14, 15, 16 is a combination of fullbacks, DMs, other midfielders.
Yeah.
17, 18, 19 is your next crop of upcoming attacking talent.
Okay.
20... It's a utility one. You can use that whenever you want. If someone's mad for it, Alalana can keep that as far as I'm concerned.
Fair enough.
I felt like I was nearly started Alalana.
You did, yeah,
Alalana. again, 21, these are when you're starting to get into the real dribs and drabs of if you need even more backup fullbacks and centre backs.
You're getting into the system where you could sign a world class player and then he's got to take 34.
No, because he's going to end, if he's not in the first 11, he's going to end up with 17, 18, 19, or 27, 28, 29.
Okay.
And then when you get out to the kids, attacking kids, should be 37, 38. 39. Okay. You know, I think Yardley Littman was 37. Fine. Absolutely fine. And you can start doing that. I mean, it's bullshit, but you can start doing that thing Fowler did when he went to Leeds, where it was like 2 + 7 is 9.
Yeah, you know,
if you really want to stretch it that far. But, you know, I'll take it. I can take it or leave it on that. So there you go. I've fixed the Liverpool squad numbers. if anyone from the club is listening, there you go. Please sort that out. I can't. Can't have any more of this. Apologies to Gini Wijnaldum, we've been summarily booted out of the 1-11. Who doesn't deserve that? But so be it. Right, okay. So, yeah, keep yours covered in the comments below, by the way. I wonder if anyone's even marginally as obsessive over this as I am. Mohamed Salah could quit Egypt. This has been rumbling on for actually months, but it's kicked up a storm again a few days ago, and then actually in the aftermath of his performance yesterday, as obviously Egypt crashed out of the tournament. There's a few threads to this, isn't there, Tom? Goes back to toward the back end of the season, and Egypt, and there was complaints over how Egypt were using Salah's image rights.
Yeah, so without on the permission. Plane. So they basically on the plane they used a big prominent image of him, and their sponsor on the plane was WE, whereas his sponsor is Vodafone.
Yeah.
So obviously Vodafone have just gone, well, no, you've got a contract with us, you can't do that. He can't do that. He signed a contract. They should know that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? His agents, them people should know that. You can't do that to him because that's his pay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're taking that away. Then obviously it's come out. Well, it didn't come out before the tournament. It was the Chechnya leader Ramzan Kadyrov. I had to make sure I got the pronunciation right. But he's the Chechnya leader, and he's been accused of loads of stuff, which is just wrong. And he didn't like the fact that he got a picture taken with him, and he's being used as a propaganda tool.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think Salah should be able to do what he wants. And there's a trend, there's a thing on Twitter trending, I'm with Salah in Egyptian.
Yeah.
And it's trending in Egypt, you know what I mean? A lot of people will stand behind him regardless, even though he's the only player in that Egyptian side who's any good.
This is it's dead, and that is very, very true, by the way. This is it's telling. I think the people, as it were, are very much behind Salah. And there's a great documentary on the Ball Street YouTube channel, which I highly recommend checking out, and how he ended up being this sort of, not like the push shout for change or revolution or whatever, but he's been something that people have, you know, there's been a lot of political problems or whatever in Egypt, and he's been like this, the gleaming ray of sunshine for people to cling on to and whatever. So everyone is behind Mo Salah on this. And, you know, it goes further. And they had stuff building up to the first game where apparently they invited a load of celebrities and what have you to kind of meet and greet the team. And they said, the exact wording was, they complained about this, and the exact wording was, if you don't happy with it, you can leave. If you're not happy with it, you can leave the squad. Like, imagine if Mo Salah had walked away from that because that wasn't. And there was complaints that apparently like random people were knocking on their bedroom doors in the early hours of the morning before the first game. I mean, it's bad enough that Mo Salah's not been fit for this tournament. You know, he's done everything in his power to get himself on the pitch, and he shouldn't have been. He shouldn't have been on the pitch at all. Let's be honest, because if he didn't have that, I can't see a world where Mo Salah starts against Chester in pre-season.
No
if he's not, you know what I mean? Even if he had no World Cup involvement whatsoever, he'd just be on holiday. And then, so he's done that. He's doing everything in his power to make sure he's right. And then the Egyptian FA are just like, "Hey, party, World Cup, woo! Yeah. Everyone to Mo's room! Yeah. I know Mo Salah!" I mean, I'm not suggesting everyone was blathered because I'm not sure they would have been like, but you know what I mean? "Hey, everyone, let's go and knock on his door." Like, he's going, "What are you doing?
Just leave me alone."
We live in the world of marginal gains where footballers get to take like their own pillows from home.
Yeah. I'm not being funny. Did you? If you watched Egypt and they still haven't won a game in a World Cup finals, and that goal he scored just shows how much class he has and technique, and just he's one of the best footballers. And never mind for Egypt in a World Cup.
Yeah.
And I feel sly on him, to be honest, because he's getting used by the Chechnya leader, by the Egyptian FA, and without his consent as well. And you've got to, it's rumours at this point that he wants to leave, But if he does, and it's right for him, then let him do it. We saw it happen with Joe Matip. He left as well, and fans, you don't, you're international. It doesn't matter, to be honest. The Egyptian fans, the Egyptian nation are still going to be behind him. They're still going to watch him play football, and he's still going to be that light. But if he's getting used and he doesn't want to be, just leave.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's telling that as well. I mean, Neil Jones from Goal.com was reporting this, and he was saying that he didn't turn up. He won man of the match in the game against Saudi Arabia, didn't turn up for it to accept his award. And Hector Cooper, the Egyptian boss, basically said, I don't know where he is. So things are not right. You know, he didn't celebrate his goal properly. No. And some of that will be to do with the fact that, you know, I just don't think he's... It's not been a good World Cup for him, you know what I mean? He's not buzzing off it. He'd rather be scoring a goal that guarantees them a place in the knockout, which that's kind of been taken away from him, unfortunately. So, you know, maybe not to read too much into it. But look, ultimately, I think as Liverpool fans, we just want Mo Salah as happy and healthy as he can possibly be. And it's annoying that you see what an amazing fella he is.
Exactly.
There's a great picture where someone was like, I got into the lift and Mo Salah was in there. It's a selfie and he's just a beautiful, gorgeous man and human being, isn't he? And I don't want to not see Mohamed Salah smiling.
I can't wait to sing for him, Paul.
Yeah.
As soon as he's back and I can sing for him, he's getting his name sung. He's getting his songs, multiple songs sung, because he's appreciated everywhere he goes. And if he's not appreciated, don't be there.
Yeah, absolutely. So linked into the World Cup as well, James Milner is watching the World Cup much like we are. At home, and he tweeted. He actually got into a brief but quite interesting conversation on Twitter, and he put out thoughts on VAR. Everyone, absolute shambles for me. And then someone had gotten back to him about it, and he replied. I thought this is really interesting. He nails it. I think he says, if we still aren't getting the correct decision, then why bother at all? Goal line technology. Goal, no goal, quick, easy, correct, and great use of technology. VAR could have two people using it, one on field and one off, who have different opinions. I mean, look, he's broken character a little bit here by having some real thoughts and opinions and some interesting ones as well. His Twitter account's been going spectacularly, but this is what I like, because I think James Milner, look, really good footballer, clearly a great fella. Knows his football. Yeah. We need more of this kind of stuff for me. And you know, it's not, rather than the, you know, hearing the same old pundits saying the same old shite or whatever, I'd be quite interested. I'd love to sit down with Milner and have a chat with him about
this.
I totally agree on this. I was concerned when goal line technology was coming in, because it's technology in sport, and you start, even though, you know, you can go down your arguments of football is a tiered thing anyway, you know, there's a massive difference in Premier League and grassroots.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. But I was concerned that you were gonna start to have a really, really sort of ring fence the top level of football. Yeah. That's, you're on the path to making it two different sports effectively when you do that. But it's binary. It's a little thing. The technology is there to 100% say the ball has crossed the line. Yeah. It buzzes. The referee goes goal. Sound.
Yeah.
Goal. No problem. I agree on this. It's VAR is being made out like it's VAR bot 2000 in the room, and it, you know, he's calculating all the possible outcomes and he's determined. It's not. It's just the fucking referee looking at the replays the way that we're looking at the replays and deciding what he's seen. That penalty decision that Iran got against Portugal was the ball hits his hand, and when you watch it in slow motion, it does hit his hand.
Yeah.
So if you're looking, if someone said, I think that might be a penalty, and he's gone, okay, well, I'll go and look, and he's going, but what I think the referee's doing there is looking for evidence to back up what he's been told.
He's
not looking to go, is it or isn't it? He's been told to look at it because they think it is, and he's going, I can see what they're saying because I can see it hits the arm, therefore it must be a penalty. And it's all it's doing is empowering yet more refereeing shithousery.
And it doesn't stop dives or anything like that either, because if you go back to the Spurs game when Harry Kane, in my opinion, dived, it was a penalty because he got touched.
Yeah.
But if you watch it in slow motion, it's a stonewall penalty.
Yeah.
You watch it in real time, there's a bit of doubt. And that's a big thing, is goal line technology is fact.
Yeah.
Has it crossed the line? Yes or no? Fact. VAR is just assisting an opinion. So he's right. Someone could have a different opinion. There's five people in a box who are then instructing a one man there. You're waiting around for 5 minutes. The players don't know what's happening. They're getting angry. I mean, to be honest, while you're watching it on TV, it adds something to it.
Yeah.
But when we went to the West Brom game,
yeah,
it detracted completely from the atmosphere, took away most of my enjoyment. We didn't deserve to win anyway. I say this every time we talk about it. But It takes it away, and it needs to be more streamlined. It's on the right track, in my opinion.
I've been dead impressed by it, by and large, in this tournament so far. The only complaint I had, and it goes back to, I think I covered this a week or so ago on the podcast, is that it was the France-Australia one where I think the referee was given the wrong angles to look at.
Yeah.
And that's a mistake, but that, you can iron that out. But this is just... This showed what can go wrong with it. And what it is that, and it's kind of what you, I think it's what you're saying, is that every touch can now be judged. And the problem is that you think about how football's gone, and maybe this is how football was always going to go, but like there's just stuff that's a foul now. There's stuff that's a yellow card now that wasn't even a foul 20 years ago. And football's going more and more that way, that anything, it's heading more and more basketball like every year that passes by, any physical contact is, you know, and it's being considered a foul. And that is the problem, is that when you watch this stuff back, people are looking for the touch, and not what replays take away is the weight of the touch.
Exactly. Yeah,
there's a world of difference between 2 foot and someone in the box and just being slightly late, and just a brushing. But if you go in super slow motion and you see that, and you're just looking close up and you see that brushing, you're looking, all you're doing is looking for the contact.
Yeah.
And that for me is, there'll be people who go, well, that letter by the law is a penalty. I disagree.
Yeah,
you know, I think you've got, you put it under the microscope too much. You need the bigger picture, I think, at times to be able to see things. And don't get me wrong, there's times when you do need that close up. And that close up for me is, does the defender get a touch on the ball? Not far less does someone's contact, is the physical contact between two players.
I mean, if you're impeding someone, then okay, it's a penalty. But like, we've all played football, you get a brush on your foot, you can go down if you want. But we play five a side. If you go down, if I brush someone's foot and they go down, I'm laughing at them, and it's carrying on.
Yeah.
You know, and you play on until both parties go, yeah, sorry about that. I know it was a proper bad tackle.
You think about how many times you play on and it is sorted out between the guy who fouled and the guy who was fouled.
Yeah.
The ball's down the other end, and they go, and how many times you go, whoa, okay. Oh, why, what's happened? Oh, was that a foul? Oh, that was a foul. Cool. If you say that was a foul, great. We'll take a penalty.
But
for
in professional football, you've got to take every single inch you can get.
And there's too much riding on it. And that's the problem, is that it was a great point. I was talking to Stehausen about this in the week, and he's saying about, why does the referee need to review it? Because if you've got referees in the building, up, you know, off-site or whatever, and they've seen it, they've determined it's warrant looker, why don't they just say, sorry, ref, that's a penalty?
Yeah.
Why does the ref, that's the problem. Why is the referee taking time out to go over and see it? And I guess it's because you want to have the referee have ultimate power.
Well, he's kind of got to, and that's what baffles me, is he's got to have the power on the pitch. The Iran game yesterday, he nearly lost control of that game because of the VAR decisions, because they were shouting at him and he was getting word in his ear. He didn't have ultimate control at the end of the day, and he's having four things happening around him instead of the two maybe that it should have been. And it's going to take a while to work out the kinks. Like I say, it is going in the right direction. Yeah. They do need help in terms of them decisions. But then with the PK one, two-footed, are they going to review that? And is that going to be a red card? Because it could have been a red card.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that, like, the Cristiano Ronaldo stuff, I can see him getting, I can see how he could get sent off for that. You know, he kind of pushes back a little bit. Again, it's another one that in the early 90s, no one even thinks, if he's not getting sent, that's one of those things where I struggle to know where to fall on it, because that kind of stuff should just be let go.
I think so, yeah.
But when you watch it back, those things those are the ones that always look the worst, because you see, it's impossible, again, to detect, we're talking about weight and intent. It's unless you literally see someone look, go, and then swing for someone, it's even harder to determine. And then once again, people are analysing look, he's defo made physical contact. That's not the point. Again, it's about whether it's intent to injure, whether it's a malicious, whether it's a deliberate attempt to, you know, to give yourself an advantage or harm another. Ronaldo could well have been sent off for something that realistically, if you don't VAR it.
Exactly, a play on it. The big thing, there's been loads of pens for people holding in the box, hasn't there?
Yeah.
And I agree. Like, there's been loads, And you're saying, oh, there's been so many penalties in this World Cup. I agree with that, because the players will stop doing that ultimately. And obviously the Mitrovic one wasn't seen, and it should have been a pen, definitely. There's two of them.
And you had the Harry Kane stuff in the Tunisia game.
Exactly,
well.
But the players are going to like keep giving penalties, and the defenders are going to have to go, well, I'm going to give a penalty away here. And you've got to be more canny with it. Because you see it all the time in the Premier League, is... people getting held, people getting thrown to the ground in the box. That needs to stop.
The issue is, though, is that there's so much of defending is physical.
Of course, yeah.
And it's a tussle, and it's meant to be a tooth and nail scrap. Yeah. No, I agree. There's ones where, again, the Harry Kane ones were just ridiculous. There's ones where people just being rock bottomed to the ground, and they're the ones that you absolutely need to get rid of because they're absolutely ludicrous. But you don't want it. Where do you draw the line? Because there's just people out there who are like, who want football to be binary because they can get a greater understanding. They can get a greater understanding of it. Pulling, foul. Touch in physical touch in the box equals foul. Again, I don't want it to remove the shades of grey because when you've got situations where there's a bit, both people are pulling shirts, well, where do you've got to let
it's who pulls first, is it? That's stupid.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and you know, you don't want to end up with a world where a guy goes into the box and it's a goal because he's gone into the box.
Yeah.
Now, it should increase the quality of tackling and defending to some extent, the same way we look at like defensive midfielders, and there's no place in top level footy for the Claude Makélélé anymore. And it's the reason why Jordan Henderson struggles to win fans over, because he never goes to ground.
Mm.
It's very easy to see a really good slidey, but that role doesn't require you to go blood and thunder slide tackle anymore.
Yeah.
People have had to learn how to tackle by staying on the feet. So, you know, it could well have an effect, but this is going to cause an evolution of how football is, and it's whether we're totally on board with that or not is the big question. This is why it will carry on, because there were far more people watching the Portugal-Iran game and the Spain-Morocco game as fans of football and neutrals who got so much enjoyment out of those last 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
far
yeah.
more than will ever be harmed by the annoyance of your nation going out because VAR's a shambles.
I know.
Maybe if Portugal or Spain go out, there might have been a bit more uproar over. So if that Iran penalty decision leads to one of those two countries going out, maybe there would have been a bit more of an inquest. But as it stands, I was gripped.
It was great.
Flicking between two channels when I realised after the match I could have watched one on my phone and watched one on the telly because I'm a fucking idiot. It was so much because I've got nothing invested.
Yeah.
So the drama and the weirdness of it all made it far more entertaining telly. Yeah. Than it would have been probably otherwise.
And everyone's criticising VAR in them two games, saying about the Iran penalty. The Aspas goal was given.
Yeah.
That was a legitimate goal that wouldn't have been given. And there's been a load of them in this World Cup where you go, okay, and we've got it right. That is your fact. Is he offside or onside? That's what VAR is perfect for. Yeah. It's the opinion based stuff with the fouls, because I have a different opinion to you. Because I like a strong tackle. I mean, I like it if you go in, you leave a bit in there. I think that's a part of football.
Mm-hmm.
Should stay a part of football, and it that's the thing that they need to sort out. But then you're never going to sort it out because you have different referees with different opinions on the game. You can't tell every referee to be the same because that's just not how
it's
it
just
works.
It comes down to its interpretation, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I'd be bang up for if they can just tighten it up a little bit and the referees have a clearer mandate on stuff, and more, I went hard in on VAR in January because I thought it was a total shambles when I saw it in the FA Cup. I haven't seen it more in the World Cup. I think, as you said, it's going on the right track. It's almost inevitable, pardon me, that we'll see it in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Liverpool are going to win the league. The first season VAR comes in, we're going to win the league.
Exactly.
End off.
Exactly. And think of the amount of penalties we would have got last season, and probably we wouldn't have got to the Champions League final if it was in there. We probably wouldn't have. And that's the thing is, when it goes against you, the offsides are annoying. But the fact that City fans are still fuming about the fact that, oh, he was offside. I love that. We got to the Champions League final and you never, because of an offside, apparently, when we battered you.
It's so salty.
I love
everything
it.
About us. It's hilarious.
But I'd have it in the Premier League, though. I would. I think, look, it needs to be refined, you're right. but it's getting there. There's going to be teething problems.
It's going to be. It's just mainly just for. It's, you know what it is, and it's hard because we now live in a world where. Because I love it for the anarchy of it. Now, of course, we live in a world where people voted for the anarchy of stuff, and it's going to leave us in a really shitty position. Look, Brexit. I'm talking about Brexit. I'm talking about Tory government and Brexit. But the point is that. It would be, you know, provided it turns out all right for Liverpool, yeah. Which unfortunately we can't guarantee, it would be a fascinating season to see it VAR over the course of a 38-game season and how it impacts things. I think people would get sick of it
because
I'm already a bit bored of how many games have been decided by penalties. And maybe that's what FIFA love, because that's been the big problem in selling soccer to other, you know, other nations who aren't down with it. The Americans in particular, is like, they just don't hate draws in this. They hate draws in the sport.
Yeah.
They need to have a decisive win everything. In everything, they don't like ties. So they'd be back. You know, they brought this in after World Cup '94. The Americans would have, you know, I'm sure footy would be the biggest thing going in that country by now. But again, it's just that thing of, it's just like, oh, great, there's another game been decided by a penalty kick because VAR's giving it. Not being, the games aren't being decided by moments of brilliance anymore. They're being decided by some guy, some part-time fella has just took a little bit of a hack at someone and clips. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm being overcritical.
It'd make it better in the long run, I think. Even if it doesn't work out for Liverpool, I'd rather they got it right. I'd rather, like, there was the Solanke would have had a goal well earlier than he did because it went in and The offsides are a big one for me. Yeah. That's what you can get spot on. Let's just do that. If VAR is used for anything, use it for offsides. And that doesn't mean the linesmen don't flag because they're good at their jobs usually.
Yeah.
But if someone in a box sees that the linesman's got it wrong and that's the goal that could win us the league.
There's just that thing where, because again, it's about keeping the flow of the game. What you don't, you people run away, celebrate, and you just say, like, right, you've got, to the VAR guys, you've got 30 seconds to determine whether it was or it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you think it was, then sound. And then none of this, like, again, none of this referees then got to go and review it. You just tell the referee.
Yeah.
Tell the referee whether it was on or offside.
Exactly.
And then what you could maybe do is then, you know, if you, do you replay it? It's tough. You then got to announce it to the crowd, or
he just goes.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah. Well, the ref has a screen on his smartwatch and he gets to watch it on his smartwatch.
Yeah, there you go.
And he doesn't need to run to it.
And it, like a Tony Stark, like he presses it and a holographic thing pops up and he...
It's like a Pip-Boy and Fallout. There you go. A big, massive thing strapped to his arm. They'd have like massive arms because they'd be lifting weights all day.
Glasses. Video glasses.
There you go.
With like a little screen.
Google. Get on it.
Google Glass.
There you go.
We've been waiting for Google Glass to finally be a thing. I've tried Google Glass. It's really not that good. They never quite took off. Walking down the street with a pair of £2,500 tech glasses. Yeah. Fine when you're walking through the city of London. That's fine when you're walking through Tocky,
yeah.
As an example, or just buy ours. yeah, no, interesting stuff. I'm sure, like I say, the flowing tide of technology in football is not going to be stopped by us, so let's just get used to it. Okay, before we crack on, we're going to take a load of your questions. We're going to be talking about which attacking midfielder, centre back, and goalkeeper Liverpool should sign that we've not been linked with. If Mo Salah was a superhero, do we need more attacking talent? Describing each Liverpool player as food, James Milner's future, and a few other bits and pieces as well. Stay tuned for that. But before we do, we did the Transfer Latest podcast yesterday with Mr. Chris Pajak. It was a belter. Here's a little clip.
But Liverpool is, I remember people saying at the time, should we retire the number 8 shirt? And it's like, no, don't ever retire a jersey at Liverpool because it's like saying
there you can name after him. Don't retire the shirt.
But it's like saying we'll never have a player good enough to wear that shirt. And Liverpool's mentality's always been, thanks very much for your time. You were amazing. You maybe if you're that, you will get a stand down named after you. But realistically, we're gonna buy someone, and he's gonna be just as good, if not better.
Well, the thing is, this number 8 can win the league.
Yeah.
So retire it after he's done that, please.
Now.
Go ahead. Good to have you back. Colin Hart, direct your tweets to that Mr. Blood Red on Twitter. Have you ever seen Keita win the league? We've got a chance. But yeah, you know, I'm cool with it. And if he strikes me as the fella who's got the kind of bollocks for it as well. I don't think the shirt will weigh heavy on his back at all.
You can tell that by the way he plays. He's so like bull in a china shop almost, just everywhere with the ball, tackles flying in all right and centre. You know, he doesn't care, which is great. He doesn't seem to care about anything.
As ever, if you want to get onto that full podcast, you go to theredmentv.com, sign up, start your 3-month trial, and you can listen to the full thing. Done some belter stuff. I had Neil Jones of goal.com in last week, sat right where Tom is. Didn't quite do as good a job as you, Tom.
Fair enough. Well, I thought I was a big downgrade. I always sound myself short on these.
No,
but
you're absolutely fine.
Mediocre. I'll take it.
Disagree. Fine. Better than fine. Good and fine. No, Neil Jones was in. I spoke to Leanne Prescott as well last week, talking about Liverpool transfers and talking about the players who maybe need to move on. We've got a real big season coming up for them. The futures of the likes of Divock Origi, Rhian Brewster, etc., etc. Sat down with Mel Reddy the week before. Absolutely fantastic podcast again, talking a bit about the Fekir stuff and about what journalists have to go through in the climate of the summer transfer windows. Stuff really, really
that
interesting
was
stuff.
Really interesting.
And James Pearce is in this week as well. So if you want to watch us grill the Liverpool Echo frontman, then come and get involved. Go to theredmentv.com, sign up. As I say, start your trial, have a go for a month and see how you get on. And if you enjoy it, then we've got you covered for the whole of pre-season and the season moving ahead as well. Going to be a belter. Question one comes from Isaac at Crucial Clyde. I feel like you won't have that handle in about 12 months time. Choose an attacking midfielder, centre back, and a goalkeeper for Liverpool to sign that we have not been linked with this summer.
So the goalkeeper one's hard because we've been linked with everyone.
Every goalkeeper
under the sun. But I've gone with Ter Stegen because let's dream big.
Why not?
And Kasper Schmeichel for Leicester.
You know what? I have totally and utterly come around to the Kasper Schmeichel thing because we've been getting linked with him now for a few years. And I wasn't overly convinced, and I now am. I would, you know, if you're going to move for someone, I'm not sure he's a significant upgrade.
I don't think so.
But I think there's obvious, I think that the obvious significant upgrades in the goalkeeping department, and people will laugh at this because at the moment, Karius is the fall guy. So there's just this mentality of Karius is total dog shit.
Exactly.
And therefore, every goalkeeper is better than him. And it's
not
the case. It's not true. I think we'd all be in agreement largely that Alisson and Oblak would represent a significant upgrade, albeit for a significant investment. And I think there's a lot of other goalkeepers you put. Butlands, your Popes, etc., who are there or thereabouts. And I think Schmeichel kind of falls into that mould too, but he's won a Premier League title.
Exactly.
And his dad's Peter Schmeichel.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of an aura around him, and he's got that little bit of experience. I think just puts him slightly ahead of those other candidates.
He's a lot older than I thought he was.
He's like 30,
31.
Is he now? Really?
31. Sounds. But then that's why I don't think we're never going to go for them.
But that's fine. Again, you can still get 5 good years out of someone like that as a goalkeeper. You've got to look at Edwin van der Sar is one of the most like silverware dripping Man United players of all time, and he was only there for like five seasons or whatever, yeah. And he went in his mid-30s from Fulham when everyone thought he'd gone there to wind his career down. So I mean, Van der Sar, much better goalkeeper than Kasper Schmeichel, but the point remains.
Now, who'd you go for with your goalkeepers?
Goalkeeper, I went for Guillermo Ochoa.
Okay.
The Mexican goalkeeper. Do I think he's really good? Not really. Do I think he's amazing fun? I do, absolutely.
Yeah, he would add a bit of flair, yeah.
He's a perfect. He is the perfect example of, and I rail against this a lot, of like a match of the day goalkeeper. He is the perfect goalkeeper for a World Cup. When you don't really care, you've got nothing on the line, all you want to see is some guy in goal diving around, saving stuff with mad hair all over the place. We love a mad South American goalkeeper. That's what the World Cup's all about. Or should I say Central American in this instance. Yeah. He was boss 4 years ago. We maybe should have had a little punt at him now. He's never really gone to a big team. He went to Malaga, I think, when they had that mad little spell when they were dead rich for a little bit. Look, if you had him as your backup goalkeeper, maybe I think he'd be good for
it. That's it. They'd all be backups behind Karius for me, which is a really
controversial.
Dividing opinion.
Yeah,
controversial.
But unpopular opinions.
Centre-back Nicolas Sule for Bayern. 22. Ooh. Last time I watched him when he played in the Champions League, he was unreal. Mm. He would partner Van Dijk and we would never concede another goal. Like, he's class.
We should defo be going out and buying the best 21-year-old centre-back in world football, whoever that may be, I think.
It's Nicolas Sule at the moment.
But it's not informed my decision-making on this. I mean, we have been linked with him to some extent in the past, but more Man United, he's been linked with is Toby Alderweireld. Mm. Again, if he's there, if he's available, and you know, you're not getting... There's no resale value in Alderweireld, so he might cost you 50 million. But if you get him for two seasons and you win a league and a Champions League in that time, then who's asked?
Exactly.
Certainly not me.
That's it. I don't think we can... I certainly can't see it that way, and I agree with what you're saying, but I just don't, like, I'm never that optimistic of we will win both, but it's a possibility. You saw that happen when Van Persie went to United and everyone was like, well, what's he going to do? Oh, they won everything.
Exactly. And maybe we're not quite there this summer. Maybe it's, I mean, again, it wouldn't be him next summer per se, but because there's still a couple of bits to be done, there's still some big additions to round this squad out.
Yeah.
Maybe next summer's that thing of, like, you need that one bit, you can take a gamble on one mega player for the short term to just tip you over the edge. But no, I'd be all over that. Okay, the really interesting stuff then, attacking midfielder.
So I've got three because I couldn't pick. It's Son, it's Eriksen, and it's Isco. I mean, I want Son all day. He would be brilliant for us.
Yeah.
But then Eriksen, I mean, we're not getting Isco. I'd love him. I would absolutely love him. We're not getting him. Eriksen, I think, would be
a beast.
It didn't
stop you putting Ter Stegen down.
Oh, no, exactly. I honestly think Son and Eriksen would just elevate this team to... Son's your backup behind Mane, and Eriksen's your number 10.
Okay.
Who can take free kicks, who can take all the corners, and we'd be such a good team.
Son's an interesting shout because Spurs are starting to change the tune a little bit in regards to the contract situation. We know Harry Kane signed a new one. I don't know if Eriksen has, or he's on the verge of doing it. I think they'll get them two boxed off, and maybe even Ali. And it wouldn't shock me if people aren't wrapping their arms around Son enough. Maybe they are. Look, I'll be perfectly honest. I've said this before. I don't really pay attention to Spurs. They're not really on my radar. I've got a rough idea of how good they are in terms of the first 11 and what have you, because I've seen a few bits and pieces along the way. I think everyone's so busy protecting Kane, Ali and Eriksen that you just get in there and you just start to divide, push Son over to one side. I'd be all over that.
Class.
Controversial, Raheem Sterling.
You know what? He'd fit in this team so well.
And his daughter's a fan.
That Players Tribune thing was fantastic. And I think, I mean, the Lukaku one as well. Mm-hmm. I read that Lukaku one. I have a newfound respect for him. The only reason I didn't like him is because he played for Everton United.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you're reading about...
Just good, too good a reasons as anything.
Very good reasons. Yeah. But I think, especially with the Sterling stuff... Look, we give him shit, or at least I give him shit, because it affects him on the pitch.
Yes.
And we don't want Man City to beat us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because I think he would have stayed if he knew Jurgen Klopp was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
He was
basically intimated as much, didn't he?
Exactly.
In AD Ward or whatever. Yeah, no, I this is the thing about him. He should have... He's the... is such a missed opportunity. And I get it, because we went as close as we came to win the league title. We fell off a cliff. Brendan Rodgers completely imploded.
Yeah.
We got tonked by Stoke at the end of the season. And then we decided to keep Brendan. And I, you know, you're right, you're Sterling. You've already moved away from home once. We basically had no choice but to play him as centre forward for us that season, because we had no one else fit enough or capable enough of doing it. We made him our main man and he wasn't ready, and then we weren't prepared to pay him main man wages or whatever. And I think the way him and his representatives went around it was completely wrong, and that's why people don't like him. Yeah. Ultimately, and fair play. But he's got the work rate, he's got the talent, he's got pace, he's got skill. Look, people go on, he's a tapping midge and blah, blah, blah. He's not a natural goal scorer, and maybe he never will be, but he still scored, what, like 20 goals or something last season. I think he gets wasted, I think, playing on the wing. We saw the best of Raheem Sterling through the middle. I think if you add Salah from the right, Mane from the left, Firmino, and then Sterling in the 10,
yeah,
stop that.
Yeah, or even the way Mane plays when he goes into the centre and lets Robertson bomb on, so he could be that winger come number 10, and he'd be fantastic. I agree. It is hard though, because I mean I wouldn't have him back now, and that's purely because of the way he treated us in a way. And I know it wasn't him and all him, but I think. No, I wouldn't have him back, but I'd love him
There'd be a load of people, I think, who wouldn't want him back simply because they put a load of tweets out with a picture calling him a snake. And people would fear fans of other clubs going, Liverpool fans were calling Raheem Sterling, as they like, who's asked? You know what I mean? Football's fluid. You have heroes and villains, and I've been on Redmen over the last 8 years and said, oh, I really, really dislike someone in Liverpool, end up signing.
Yeah.
Andy Carroll, Geordie of the Jungle, I used to call him. I said he was terrible, just terrible. And then we signed him and I had to backtrack massively.
You were ultimately right.
I was ultimately right.
But then United fans can't talk because they hated Mourinho and now he's the saviour. Yeah, maybe absolutely. Not so much anymore because he's garbage. And
Arsenal fans stick for Alexis. The point is, all of these things, and this is true for, it would be true for a Sterling signing. I think it'll be true for Karius if he gets the nod as the first choice goalkeeper. Nothing wins fans over quite like winning football matches.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if he came in and he was the guy part of a title-winning team, I think we would forget all of the indiscretions pretty sharpish, if I'm perfectly honest. Okay, let us know yours then. I say an attacking midfielder, centre-back and a goalkeeper that Liverpool haven't been obviously linked with this summer. Okay, Beggars at Beggars95. If Mo Salah was a superhero, would he be DC or Marvel? Do you understand the question?
What are superheroes? No, I honestly had
to
ask you.
What does DC stand for?
I had to ask you because I mean, I like superheroes. They're really good things that don't really exist. But I've picked the Flash because he's fast and so is Mo Salah. Yeah. But I've done a little Dr. Manhattan because he creates something out of nothing. Oh.
Clever.
There you go.
Clever. I mean, yeah.
I don't know what they are, though.
The question was more whether he would be in the DC stable. So I get what you've done. You've done it around. You're saying DC.
He's okay. Flash, so that's DC.
You're saying DC. Yeah. For me, I think Mo Salah has got the ability to be a DC. Here's the thing. Here's the fundamental difference in the way the comics have been written over the last 30 years, is that Marvel, and you can tell this in the films, Marvel are just a bit more real and a bit more human. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of examples of that, which is not true, so don't at me, by the way. And DC is always a bit too super, a bit too overpowered. So an example of that, you know, you look at the flagship heroes, Spider-Man is a fella who just struggles through life and can't make ends meet and always gets colds and he's fighting bad baddies off against the odds.
Yeah.
Where a Superman is just basically indestructible and can do everything. And that's the difference. So I think Salah could be a DC hero. If he scores another 40 goals this season, he's basically like the Superman of a Superman 1 million, where he's lived on the sun for a million years and he's just basically a supreme being.
Yeah.
I could see Mo Salah becoming that, but right now, you know, because he's come from the roots and the you know, to travel 7 hours to play footy and going all that, he's very much got the Marvel, I think, the Marvel backstory.
He's superhuman. He's not.
He's a real person with superpowers.
Yeah. You know, I'll go with that. from not knowing what the question meant. There you go. There I agree. Go.
I'm here all week. Fraser, iNav TV. Do you think we need another top class attacker in case Salah gets injured? Surely it's not worth relying on the youth in a title challenge. I completely agree with this, and this is why the Fekir deal has made this much more complicated, because at the minute, because Fekir was. In addition to Oxlade-Chamberlain, there's your cover. There's sufficient depth of cover for your attacking midfield slot, but also a lad who can just do, who can perform on the either flank as well, or even as a 10 or a false nine, whatever. In return for that, at the minute, it's kind of looking more and more like, well, we're probably going to get Shaqiri. It's probably going to be promotion for Brewster on the to be involved in the front three, and then we might look at someone else who can play attacking midfield, and if that guy then can't do one of the forward three jobs, I don't think the forward three is as good. Is, you know, it's not quite the strength in depth we're maybe hoping for. Going into the new season,
it is hard, but there's talk that it's not even over.
Yeah,
they're gonna wait till after the World Cup, and I'd be happy to see that, and then we can negotiate with no like time barrier. Yeah. Oh, we've got to get it done within 3 days. Yeah. Sack that off. Take your time and make sure you both agree on the fee and stuff. And yes, we do need another top class attacker, because like we just about got through the season. If any of that front three got injured,
well, we saw it, Tom. We saw it in the Champions League final,
exactly,
and we saw it the season before.
Yeah,
you know, we ended up playing, and we were lucky because we did have good depth, but we had good depth of players that didn't really fit our system. But you know, when we're going to West Ham away, effectively playing a bit of a diamond with Coutinho and Lallana behind Origi and Sturridge, and we managed to manage that, but we had to fundamentally change the way we played football to get ourselves over the line.
Yeah.
This time around, we upgraded. We actually took our attacking talent up a level by playing both Salah and Mane this time around. And then what happened beneath it? Adam Lallana, who was 2 years past and large, probably never really truly capable of playing in the front three the way we played, exactly, it because of his lack of pace.
I mean, it's hard because I don't know who you get, but I'm sure behind the scenes they are tirelessly working. They're looking in the World Cup. I don't think you should base it on a World Cup, but there's a few people they probably haven't thought of and just gone, oh, he's got a bit of the work right there, because that's the big thing for me. It's not, obviously you need the talent, but you need the work rate in there, and that's why a lot of people oppose Shaqiri in a way like that. He's got the talent and not so much the work rate. I think we need someone like a Danny Ings with more quality who can play on the wing, in my opinion. Someone who's just going to track back for you when Mo Salah can't or Shaqiri won't.
Yeah, well, I mentioned it on the Transfer Later podcast. Liverpool have never replaced Craig Bellamy. You know, if that that fella who just tears around and gets stuck in and is a bit of a prick
and
as well.
Kite a little bit
and
Dick, well,
you know, absolutely. And but the Shaqiri stuff is fine. I think what Liverpool are likely doing with this World Cup, and this is me reading between the lines, or maybe it's just me putting a bit of my own sensibilities into it. I don't think Liverpool scouts are watching the World Cup and they're going, Jesus Christ, have you seen that Ziyech?
Yeah.
Who does he play for? Ajax. Oh, Ray, he's great, isn't he? Have we got the Ajax chairman's phone number? I mean, this is exactly what Michael Edwards sounds like, by the way. And he'll go, right, it's okay. This Ziyech, how do you say his name? He's good, man. Liverpool won't be doing that.
No,
but I wouldn't. But it wouldn't shock me if Liverpool have got that list of targets, right? And the watch, and these lads are at the World Cup, and maybe you're thinking, so you know your number one target is Nabil Fekir, for an example. But maybe there's not too much difference between two. Maybe you've got a nailed on two, and you're not sure about three or four. And maybe you get to the point where if you can't get two, you're looking at going, you know what, forget three and four, I'd rather hold on. Yeah. But if number three or number four is on your target list as a boss World Cup, that might inform you, think, well, they've just gone to the biggest stage in international football and proved that they can do it. Well, okay, that actually changes, because as much as we like to get sucked into this sometimes, footballers and their abilities are not set in stone. Yeah. We all change, we all get better with practice, we all do these things. So footballers do have the ability, and it's possible that one of these lads who's like fourth that, or way down the list, who's just a real outsider, maybe, and I mentioned Zaha because we have been loosely linked with him, maybe that's just somewhere where they've gone, that's what we needed. That is the last little box ticked that we weren't utterly convinced about whether he could do it on a big stage, and that gives his answer. So it wouldn't surprise me to have one or two names that maybe you've seen at the World Cup come out, but if they do, it won't be, as I say, it won't be a you know, throw a dart at a board with a load of World Cup names on it.
And I don't think it's going to be some massive name either, and I don't really want it to be. I feel like they should feel understudies to Salah and Mane and Firmino. Mm-hmm. You've got to learn off them. You can't come in and change the system. I mean, it might change the system, you never know, but you've got to go in there and be like looking up to these people and going, I need to recreate that.
Yeah.
And that's the way to do it. I really don't think we're going to get in a Griezmann or or someone like that. I'd love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Get him in, number 10, sorted, and then we can play a 4-2-3-1 boss. Yeah. But, just get in an understudy. Shaqiri's going to have to be an understudy. He's he's older than Mo Salah, but he's going to be an understudy because Salah's just better than him in multiple facets of his game.
Yeah.
But then you can see Shaqiri can do it on the big stage. He did it the other week. A few flashes of brilliance, and that's what you need sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Look, ideal world, you know, you want... And a lot of this, I think, the concern around this comes down to, and I think it's kind of alluded to in the question, we don't quite know what a good Brewster's going to be, and it's going to, you know, and we'll have to see him, what we see of him in pre-season, depending on his fitness, of course. You know, people that aren't talking about Harry Wilson, maybe he does something in pre-season that really impresses everyone. Until we see someone do it at senior level, it's very difficult for you to mentally go, oh, it's absolutely fine. It's absolutely fine. It's all we want to do in football is say, it's just to be able to go, this is sound, because I can see it sound. The problem is the way Liverpool do it and the way Jürgen does it, unfortunately, he has to there's just a group of fans to whom he has to prove himself and his decisions to every single year. Whereas for me, I'm loads more laissez-faire about it. I can kind of go, you know what, he's built it up now, I can see what he's doing. If he thinks that's fine, that's absolutely fine. Oxlade-Chamberlain's a good example of that. A lot of people just were not convinced by that at all last summer, and then all of a sudden he's pretty much everyone's favourite Liverpool player by the back end of the season. Liverpool should have, if Rian Brewster didn't exist, Liverpool in this summer window should be going out and buying someone who's 18, 19, 20, 21, who's got the potential to be absolutely incredible. He's just got loads of pace to burn, but he's a bit of a rough diamond. And you have Markovic. Him as your understudy. Get out. Ryan Babel, but not Ryan Babel. This is what these lads were. You speculate on these lads. You know, we didn't do this on Cristiano Ronaldo from Sporting, and we had the opportunity to do it. We should have a lad who's primed to be the next, who, because you can do it two ways. You either go and get a fella who is happy with his lot in life of being a squad player and maybe proving himself, because, you know, it Liverpool, the lore of Liverpool is a big thing, and Shaqiri falls into that. And it is a similar vein to getting a Craig Bellamy second time around. Mm-hmm. Guy in his 30s who's just going, go ahead, 20 games at the highest level for the last couple of seasons of my life, spot on, I'm all in on that. Or you get a young lad who's hungry, who's willing to learn, and he knows he's not going to play 50 games, but he knows he's going to play a season alongside the best front three in world footy, and he's then going to be primed to break through and break into that team. At the minute, Shaqiri makes perfect sense for the other side. It's just whether Brewster is that or not. And if he's not that, then we need to go out and buy that.
Yeah, and like even Maxi Rodriguez fits into all that mould as well. I love that team. And it wasn't the best team because of the people kind of behind that. But you look at Craig Bellamy, Dirk Kuyt, Maxi Rodriguez, they were on stupid amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you
make yourself a successful club.
I wouldn't be adverse to bringing in a player like that. I don't think we will, but you never know. We could just find someone and just go, there's a bit of experience in there that can just shut it up. Like James Milner came in, and he was there for a long period of time. He was the player the players just gave the ball to, and they knew he'd never give it away, and he'd be solid. And I think we could do with that up top.
You're right. I agree in that. So having a lad who's been there and done it, because
there's an idea though. James Milner playing on the left wing again. I mean, I don't know if it'd happen, but
it's the problem with it, mate. Is that he can? I think, you know, you're getting maybe getting to 10 minute games in last 10 minutes of games in Europe.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as much of an issue because, you know, his delivery's spot on, and, you know, again, his work rate's never going to let you down. It's not that I think Liverpool's issue is. Liverpool's issue is, Liverpool have got Real Madrid on a Tuesday in the group stages or the knockouts, and then we've got Man City or Man United at the weekend.
Yeah.
And you can't play the same 11 twice. Putting Milner on the wing in any of those games is a significant drop off, unfortunately. Simply because, and it's just pace.
Pace makes
a big difference. Pace is so fundamental to how we play in those wide areas that you're just unbalanced in how the squad plays. So that's, you know, in terms of squad depth, and in fact, we'll just answer the question briefly then. Michael Blake's in, what sort of role do you think Milner will play next season? Every year he seems to defy supporter expectation and continue to play a key role in the squad. Liverpool's squad is infinitely better by having James Milner in.
Definitely.
It, because he backs himself, he puts in the work, right? He's the one last season saying, I look at my stats, and my stats in training are better than everyone else's, because he makes them that. There'll come a point where he will never physically allow himself to not be like that.
Yeah.
There will just come a point when he'll melt, and he won't physically be capable of it. But him and even the people writing off Lallana to some extent, these are a lot of lads who are going to play 50 games, are not going to have 50 starts in Liverpool next season. But they're going to round the team out. But what we don't need... So my point is, sorry, is we don't need any more lads like that, do we? But
fair
we defo need someone who can come in, who you can... If they're not maybe bang ready now, they are in 6 months or a year from now, everyone's got the name on the shirt this time next year, and they're waiting for the truly mega season from
and
them.
And another big thing is the importance of them in the squad. You're talking about James Milner, what sort of role? Just being in that squad, you saw the effect Lucas Leiva had on a lot of the South American players and that, and he's just a brilliant person to have there. And James Milner, same Lallana, same
you're 18,
hungry players.
19 or even just a player coming in from outside that squad, and you're coming in, even if it's let's say Jadon Shaqiri is an example of it, you come into that squad and you see James Milner there, and there's probably a player that, you know, maybe if you've thought about it, you might be thinking, well, I'm better than James Milner, because you look at it, people naturally do have this little bit of a, you know, turn the nose upon him or whatever. And then you see him in training, and you're like, this guy's 31, 32, and he's covering the most distance, he's being physical, he's playing training like I play matches.
Yeah.
That's the level I'm going to have to perform at in order to get into that team. You can't underestimate how important that is to the squad. So whether James Milner ends up being a vital cog in Liverpool's first 11 week in, week out, I doubt. But he has proven us wrong plenty of times. He will have a pivotal role in Liverpool's squad. Yeah. And don't be shocked if we get to the business end the next season. 3 or 4 games to go, you might have an FA Cup semi-final, you might have a Champions League quarters or semi-final, and you're 5 games away from a league title. If James Milner all of a sudden is very much right back in that team,
I'd love to see it. And there's something to be said about him coming off the bench. Every time you see it, every time I've watched him come off, it seems like an assurance. Mm-hmm. Everyone calms down a little bit. And because you know for a fact, he's, like I said before, he's not going to give the ball away. And if he does, he's going to work so hard to get that back. He's going to work for the team. And there's something special about when you're seeing him. I know he's getting on in terms of football, and he throws himself into challenges. Yeah. That is something you can't underestimate. That he puts his body on the line every single week.
All that being said, just getting back to the original question, is that there's a degree to which I talked about this a little bit earlier on in the pod about maybe like it's more a next summer job where you just go on back, you get one stupid signing who doesn't fit the model, who's well too old for well too much money, but he's just a pure luxury for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
You just go and buy Gareth Bale this summer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Don't care what it costs. He moves for 100 million quid and you go, his legs are going to fall off in 2 years' time, but who cares? Oh no, we've lost Mohamed Salah. Oh well. I mean, because that was the difference between Liverpool and Real Madrid in that final.
It was,
They brought on formerly the most expensive player in world football, and he scored an overhead kick. And we brought on Adam Lallana. Yeah. And with the greatest of will in the world and the love for Adam Lallana, there's just a significant
and
difference.
And injured Adam Lallana as well. And did they bring on Casemiro as well? That's another big thing. Or did
they start
off
Casemiro? But they brought on, you know, they've got those
wealth,
kind of options.
A wealth of options.
Exactly. They've got Asensio on the bench, and they've got, you know, they're not sure whether Asensio or Isco is the right option to go for. Kovacic, no one meant, you know what I mean? This kind of stuff.
I think we just raid Man City again and get David Silva.
Sure.
Just get him in. Sorted. Or Iniesta, just come in.
One more season. Brilliant. Who do you think, you know, what Liverpool should do? And do you think Liverpool genuinely need a top class attacker? I mean, look, it's simple to say when I'm throwing names like Bale out there, just do it. But realistically, you know, if it ends up being like a Shaqiri, Let's just say ideal. Well, let's say Shaqiri, you were promoting Brewster, and we still do get a Nabil Fekir. Mm-hmm. Is that enough for you, or should Liverpool change those plans and go mega big on someone mad to play in the front three? Comments below, please. Okay. Two fun questions to end us then. Describe each Liverpool player in the starting 11 and benches food. Now, we're just going to do the starting 11 from Champions League final. Let's get through this as fast as we can. Karius,
banana split. Cause
go on.
Yeah.
I went for sushi because he's just a bit trendy and a bit lightweight. Like, Trent,
Scouse. Easiest one, but
easy though. But when you see Trent Alexander-Arnold, do you think a big hearty bowl of Scouse?
Do you
bollocks?
It's because he's Scouse.
Because he's exactly. Yeah. I went for a refresher bar.
Okay.
Because he's just lanky and
energy
and just sugar packed and packed with energy and packed with surprises as well. Virgil van Dijk.
Waffles. Because I never get tired of them.
Yeah. I went for sirloin steak.
Okay, yeah.
Because he's the pure quality of the team. He is the Rolls Royce of our team. And sirloin, or whatever. Pick a better slice of beef, whatever you want, but you get my point. And conversely off that, Lovren is a five, guys, in that, you know, he's nowhere near as classy.
Okay.
But, you know, he's boss, he's really enjoyable, but often at the end of it, you do feel a bit of regret.
Okay. Fair enough. I went for cake, any cake.
It's just cake. Yeah, but a lot for his cake.
Just purely because of his Instagram. He's always having a laugh.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay, I like cake.
Andy Robertson, I feel we've both gone for a similar vein in this one.
Scotch egg,
Sal.
Same thing as Trent, Scouse, Scotch, whatever.
Yeah, and I went for a can of Iron Brew.
Oh, that's a good one.
There's nothing but like the old Iron Brew. Before they changed the recipe, none of that shite. Jordan Henderson,
Chip Balm,
so
kind of bland, but does the job.
So I feel like we might have a similar. That's great. I can't wait to see it. So I have to qualify this. So I've gone. If I give us your Genie Wijnaldum,
spag ball,
decent. I went chicken tikka for Genie Wijnaldum because
spicy.
Well, not, but no. Because look, let's be honest, it's not a great, like, you know, if you're a real connoisseur of, you know, Indian food, you're not really going with that. You know, you're not traveling the world to go and get yourself a really nice chicken tikka, but. It's really nice. It's really solid. It's much better and much more interesting than a korma.
Yeah.
But it can have a little bit of a spice. Just really good. But that also then informed me Jordan Henderson decision because I went for chicken curry, but like chip shop chicken curry, not with rice, with chips. So you know he has got a bit of kicker. He's not. And equally, James Milner just went for meat and potato pie again, okay. and maybe a bit of chips and maybe some mushy peas.
Yeah.
Jordan Henderson is slightly more exotic than that, but not as exotic as Genie. But equally, a whole midfield is by and large just the kind of thing that your average British white man buys from the chippy or from the Indian.
I'll give you that. I mean, I went tea and biscuit for Milner.
Tea and biscuit.
Because I just
feel
like...
And a nice sit-down.
Exactly. That's what I just imagine him doing all day, every day.
Yeah.
But I don't know, spag ball for Genie, just purely, it's a staple.
Absolutely.
Does what it needs to do.
Completely. It is the Italian equivalent of a chicken tikka. Exactly. It's a spag ball. Moving into the forward line then, Roberto Firmino.
Wrigley is chewing gum because his teeth are always white.
Okay, cool.
I didn't know what to go with.
So I've given this answer about him on podcast in the past, but remember that Simpsons episode where they do the B-sharps and Barney gets like a Yoko Ono equivalent and they go into Moe's and she asks for a single plum floating in perfume served inside a gentleman's hat.
Okay.
That's what Roberto Firmino is.
Okay,
He is basically abstract art as food, whatever that may be. In dinner form, there's no way that he eats his dinner with a knife and fork.
No.
He blatantly eats his chicken tikka, which he wouldn't be. It would be chicken tikka. He would eat dinner like I reckon elf eats dinner with like maple syrup on it, and he eats it with chopsticks.
Yeah,
for the shits and giggles.
Why not?
Sadio Mane,
Jake Chicken.
Okay,
because I don't know,
just a bit because he's got a bit of spice to him. Like.
A bit of spice, and I feel like he's always happy and. I don't know, just something about
Have you ever seen a miserable person eating jerk chicken?
You know what I mean? or cooking it. Or cooking it. You know what I mean? Every time I make jerk chicken, I'm happy because I know I'm about to eat it.
Sad. I went for a big bag of rainbow drops.
Okay. Nice.
That, again, yeah. It's not possible, or a bag of ice gems, whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, just not. It's not possible to be sad while you're eating. Well, yeah, absolutely. Mohamed Salah,
full English. It's got everything.
I went for a very similar thinking on this, and bear in mind that we had to run this through the racial clearance, yeah, by the way, before anyone fell into horrendous stereotypes. I went Christmas dinner, and listen, yeah, this is not a, this is, you can keep Jesus and Mohammed separate. It's got, yeah, nothing to do with them. The point is, it's whatever the best dinner in, you think the best dinner, yeah, in the world is, whatever the best dinner is, you go for that, and, yeah, that's what Mohammed Salah is. For me, the best dinner you can ever have in your entire life. Day to day is a full English, but as your one off.
Yeah. Well, full, I never eat full English, but when I do, that it's a special thing. So there you go.
Sound perfect. If you think you can do better than that, leave us your Liverpool starting 11 as food in the comments.
It's harder than you think.
It is. Just got, the trick is to go on gut instinct. Don't second guess. Final question then. Neil David Long. Just been to an 80s weekender. If the whole of the Redmen crew were to go, who would you dress up as? I went as Adamant.
So I had to go back and think about what 80s people I could go as.
What year were you born again?
94.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Exactly. So
since senior school.
So, yeah. So I've gone Tommy Vercetti, GTA Vice City.
Okay.
Because iconic.
Sure.
80s sorted. And Jason Voorhees, Friday the 13th, the first one.
Okay.
Because it's an easy costume and I've got the mask already.
Sad. Okay.
Why? Because I was going to dress up as him for last Halloween. I didn't end up going out.
Ah, okay. Sound boss just sat in her home and wore it.
Yeah. I murdered a few people wearing it. There you go.
Amazing. Bit of webcamming. I would go as Michael Knight from Knight Rider.
Fair enough.
But I'd have to have the car.
Yeah.
If you can't have the car, then all you are basically is a man with a curly wig and a lot of chest hair on show, which is fine. You know, we've all been there. So, yeah, it says the rest of the Redmen crew. I want suggestions in the comments below what you think the rest of the Redmen crew would best be fitting in an 80s-themed fancy dress sort of setting. So, obviously, I want Ben, I want Ross, I want Chris, Si, Stee. And if you think we've got better ones for us, oh God, comments below, please.
It's probably going to be loads of things with masks on for me.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'm back up for that. Yeah. Right, brilliant. Yeah, thank you very much, Tom. That's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for watching and for listening. If you're listening on a podcasting app, please do drop a 5-star review. It all helps. And if you want more from us, from Redmen TV, Redmen Radio, whether it's video, podcast content, and written stuff as well, go to theredmentv.com and sign up for a subscription. As I say, you can try the first month for free. It's an absolute blast. I love what we're doing at the moment. It is so good. There's so much stuff covered, and we're only in like light mode at the moment.
Yeah.
It's kicking up a notch from next week as pre-season really builds up. Get involved then. It's just £5 a month thereafter. If you're getting on with it and you're enjoying it, let people know in the comments below. Other than that, thank you. Walk on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.